Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have everyone today. I know a number of you are here to bless your mother today, and that's a wonderful thing. Thank you, mothers, and thank you if you're visiting with us this morning. We're glad you're with us. Thank you for being here, and if you've not filled out a visitor card in one of the chairs in front of you, if you're visiting, if you wouldn't mind filling that out and just drop that in one of the yellow boxes when you leave, that helps us to have a record and be able to reach out and follow up. But we're so thankful you're here. Mothers, if you did not know, we have a gift for you in the foyer. You may have noticed when you walked by a table in the foyer that there were some of these laying out, and that's for you mothers. And so I have to give you one tip on this. It looks like an ordinary writing pen, but it has this opening here at the top, and you have to twist the end, and you'll open that, and it's a magnifying glass. And I'll tell you what, mothers, if you are younger and you don't need a magnifying glass, well, you just thank God for that. But hang on to this. Hang on to it, because your day's coming. Anyway, these are just something to let you know we appreciate you. We have 58 devices tuning in with us this morning, worshiping God. We're glad that you are with us. We have, you know, scripture that I want to get to a number of scriptures today, and we'll start with one about honoring mothers. But I also want to mention that some of our mothers have already passed. And for you, for the rest of us, just to be mindful that there are people that today's a difficult day because they miss their mother. Amen. And that's a godly thing to have a mother that you miss. And I would remind you, if your mother has passed, that she still blesses you today. And some of the things we'll look at today, I think will remind you of that your mother still blesses you. And so that's a beautiful and wonderful thing. But and the message, if your mother is alive, I know those that yours has passed, you would tell the rest of us to cherish the time you have with your mother. It's a gift. And so just be mindful of that. But let's start out. Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." And that really, you know, part of that just references your mother is trying to save your life. We as young people do some really dumb things. And mothers have that voice that say, don't be dumb. You know, be smart. And so she's trying to preserve your life. She's trying to bless your life. And notice that it doesn't just say, obey your father and mother. Because that instruction would be, when we're young, we obey our parents. And yet this is an instruction. Honor is different than obey. You can obey without honoring your parent. You can obey with a bad attitude, but that's not honoring your mother. And so honoring is something that we do and will do for the rest of our life. And it's the idea to regard with great respect is what the word honor means, to regard with great respect. And so I remember growing up, you know, my parents, I would watch them. I didn't fully understand things until you grow up and you have even greater clarity about things that happen when you're a kid. But I remember anytime my grandparents came to our house to stay a couple nights, Mom and Dad would give them their room. That meant the best bed that we had in the house for sleeping was Mom and Dad's bed. And Mom and Dad's room had a bathroom, you know, attached to it. And so Mom and Dad would vacate the best and give to their parents. And they would bump, you know, my brother or sister, and who would bump me, I would get bumped to the couch. You know, baby ends up on the couch. And I remember I did not mind that, but I noticed without fail, if grandparents are coming, this is what's happening. And it was a way, no doubt, that they continued even into, you know, adulthood to honor their parents. Want to tell or notice four things this morning that you can be thankful for a mother. And the first one is to be thankful to God for a mother's compassion. A mother will ask a young child who's hurt, who gets hurt and comes with a tear in her eye. You know, a mother will say, "Are you okay?" A dad will say, "You're okay." And those are real close. They sound real close. They're vastly different. You know, a mother will ask, "Are you all right?" And a dad will say, "You're all right. You're all right. Shake it off. You okay?" But mothers have that compassion that comes from God. Isaiah 49:15 is a passage about, this is Isaiah, right? God speaking to his people who've been really punished. The nation of Israel was in exile, and God's telling them he's not forgotten them. He will redeem them. He will bring them back. But he makes this statement. He says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. We'll have a couple scriptures today where God compares one of his traits to a mother. Remember, of course, God made us in his image, male and female. And part of God's image is in mothers. Compassion is something that mothers are strong in. It is one of their wonderful gifts to us. And there's just something uniquely wonderful about a mother's compassion. And it's really her heart. It's how she feels. It's her desire that her children are okay. Secondly, another quality, thank God for a mother's comfort, which is a little different than compassion. Compassion comes from her heart. It's a feeling. Comfort is an action. Comfort is what your mother might do. Do you remember a time when your mother comforted you? Maybe it was with a hug. Maybe it was with her words. Maybe it was with her cooking. There are different ways mothers comfort. And mothers want to make things better, bottom line. And so God, in Isaiah 66:13, says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, that you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And that's, you know, that's God's desire for his people, but it's innate in a mother. If a child is hurting, a mother wants to comfort. Think about it. Mothers are gentle, they're caring, they're compassionate, they're comforting. I remember when our girls were babies, if they were upset and crying and fussy, I could hold our girls as a baby, and I would do better than you would if you pick them up. I would do better because I'm their father. But no one was as good as their mother. No one could comfort them like their mother. In fact, if they were really, really fussy, Stephanie had this trick. I call her the baby whisperer. She's in the nursery today. But she had this trick when they were really young and fussy. She would throw one of these cloths, real thin cloths, over them, put them up here on her shoulder so it's dark, and she would pat their back or their bottom, and depending on how fussy is how aggressive that would go. But in about a minute or two, they're out like a light. I couldn't do that. I couldn't comfort them like she could. They're designed for comfort. Mothers are beautiful. They're soft to the touch. Their voice is pleasant. That's from God. God designed you mothers. When I'm in the foyer, and a child, this will happen once in a while, one of our children will be kind of walking fast or running, and they are crying. And they're not, it's not a pretty cry, it's an ugly cry. You know what the ugly cry looks like? I mean, it's full on tears. They're not, you know, I evaluate them immediately. Are they bleeding? Because they're moving, so they're mobile. They can move. Are they bleeding? No, they're not. And I leave them alone, but I know exactly who they're going to. They're going to mom. If mom is here, they're going to mom. And if the grandparents are here, they're going to grandma. Make no mistake. It's just a fact. It's not that dads or grandfathers cannot comfort. There's no comfort quite like your mother. And that's a blessing from God. Number three, thank God for mother's kindness. Mother's kindness. This word is a little challenging to define, but kindness means being gentle, being caring, helpful. That's what kindness means. And we have a Proverbs 31 that talks about a woman of noble character. And it says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. And we have a scripture in 1 Peter that may seem really unrelated, but it speaks to women. It says, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. It's a scripture that reminds us our world is always focusing too much on the external. And it doesn't mean that ladies should not care about their outward beauty. That's very natural, and that's very that's fine. It's very normal. But what it's saying is the real precious, special beauty is what's on the inside. And for a mother, mothers have a way of communicating kindness. Think about the fruit of the Spirit. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And in 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul defines love, he says love is patient and kind. Kindness is something that you probably learned from your mother. I remember, growing up, when me and my brother or sister would be arguing or fussing, mom would say, be nice. Be nice. You know, she's not saying stop talking with each other, stop arguing or stop negotiating. She's not always saying complete silence, but she's saying do it in a kind way. And Stephanie, we would do that with our girls. She would, you know, same thing when they would be arguing with each other. Be nice. It's something we learn from our parents, and maybe you learned from your mother. But don't you think our world needs more kindness? Amen. I mean, we're living in a very unkind world. Right. And we need more kindness. It's a quality from God. But it oftentimes comes down to us through our mother. And then number four, thank God for a mother's thoughtfulness. Mothers tend to think of their children often, whereas fathers are able to be out of sight, out of mind. And I'm not putting fathers down today. I'm just highlighting strengths of mothers, because here in a few weeks, we'll have a day that we talk about fathers. And fathers have unique strengths that mothers don't have the way they do. And so, but mothers think about their children, and fathers are able to flip a switch and just focus on something and not worry about what's out of their sight. And remember in Luke chapter 2, we have a passage here where Jesus, he's 12, and Jesus and his parents, they go to the temple and they leave, and they're in a large family group. Maybe there were 50, 60, 70 in this family group that were at the temple for a holiday, and they leave to go home. And Jesus is 12. Now, 12-year-old, he's also the oldest. He's also the only perfect child that ever lived. So no doubt his parents knew that Jesus knew what to do when the family leaves. It's really no fault of Mary and Joseph for leaving Jesus. It's not shame on them, because he would be with the family. He's old enough to know that. But he stays at the temple, and they can't find him, and they're frantic, and they look everywhere. And you can imagine, if you've ever kind of lost your child just for a moment in any situation, you understand that panic. And they're panicking, and they find him at the temple, and they kind of scold him for a minute. And then verse 51 says, and this is about Jesus, he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. It doesn't say Joseph, it doesn't say his parents treasured all these things in their hearts. Mary did. It's thoughtfulness. It's what mothers do. Mothers notice things. And really, this scripture implies that Mary did not understand everything about what happened here. Because Jesus said, don't you know I have to be about my father's business? Don't you know I'd be in my father's house? She knows he's from God. I don't know that she fully understands what's happening, but she treasured this in her heart. Mothers treasure things, memories, mementos. I am not allowed to throw certain things away in our house because they pertain to our daughter's childhood. That's because of their mother. Because their father would have thrown them away. If you don't use it, get it out. I'm not saying I'm the neatest, tidiest person, but usually you're one of two ways, and some of you can relate to me. If you're the type that when things are cluttered, let's just get rid of these things. If you find joy in taking stuff out of your house in a trash bag, raise your hand. That means you're like me. Now, let's see how I can put this nicely. If you like your things and are not bothered when they are growing out of control in your house, because you like your, let me say that better. If you like your things and you have trouble turning loose of things because they're important to you, that's good, wasn't it? Then, right, let's see the rest of it. Okay. And then that's okay. Some of you might be both. There was a time I was throwing some stuff away from our attic that rarely is entered. And I made the mistake of throwing some of it away in the white trash bags that are kind of semi-transparent. And I made the mistake. I thought I had it. Because I did it kind of under the cloak of darkness. But next thing I know, Stephanie comes walking in with some memento of the girl's childhood, something they wore when they were this tall, and comes carrying it in. I was in big trouble. Big trouble. Because she cherished that. She treasured that. And it's something mothers do. Mothers notice things. There's this idea of a mother's intuition. I don't think that's supernatural. I think a mother's intuition is her picking up on things she cannot necessarily identify mentally or clarify, but she has picked up on it. And she has a feeling about it. And oftentimes mothers are right about those things. It's a blessing to have a mother who thinks about you, remembers things in your life, is proud of you, wants the best for you, cheers you on. She's thoughtful of you. And the fact is, along with that, mothers tend to worry. Mothers are worriers. And mothers, to you mothers, the greatest thing you can ever worry about is your child's soul. And I want to thank you for that. The greatest thing you mothers can ever worry about is your child's soul. It's the greatest thing you can ever pray about. We have a Proverb 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old. He will not depart from it. We raise our children, we point them toward God, and then we worry. You mothers worry. And rightfully so. And so to the mothers who are daily praying for your children's walk with God, keep praying. Keep praying. And I want to share a story in closing this morning that's from 2 Kings chapter 4. I'll read a verse from there in just a moment. 2 Kings chapter 4. This is a time when there were prophets, and you may know of the prophet Elijah. Well, his successor was Elisha. And Elisha was even greater than Elijah. He did more. He was given more of God's spirit or power, ability. God did more through Elisha. And Elisha would travel about, and there was one family, a Shunammite woman and her husband, and they were very fond of Elisha. So when he would come, they would host him in their home, and they would take care of him, and then he would travel on. They did this and appreciated Elisha so much that they even made a guest room for him. They set it up with everything he would need. A bed, a desk, a lamp, everything he might need. And so when he came, not only did he stay with them, but he had his special quarters. And they were just very kind and gracious to Elisha. And so there comes a time when Elisha says, you know what, I appreciate them. They've been so good to me. I want to do something for them. So he goes and he talks to this Shunammite woman. And he asks her, is there something I can do for you? He says, would you like me to talk to the king? Would you like me to talk to the commander? Because Elisha had a lot of clout. He says, would you like me to do something in your favor? She says, no. She turns all that down. And then Elisha's servant says, you know what? She has no children. And she's older in years, but she has no children. And so Elisha tells her, this time next year, you're going to have a son. It's another one of these stories in Scripture where a barren woman is able to have a child. And a son was, in those days, a son was even more special. But she was able to have a son. So the next year, she has that child. And he, a few years pass, he might be 5 or 6 by now. But he runs out, he hits his head, or his head starts hurting, and he dies. The boy dies. And she is terribly distraught. She tells her husband, get a servant, get a donkey, get it ready, because she's going to go find Elisha. Her son has died. She tells a servant who's leading, she says, you don't slow down. You don't slow this donkey down. You do not slow us down unless I tell you to. In our day and time, we say hammer down and you don't let up unless I say so. That's what this woman said. They get to Elisha. She tells him what happens, and Elisha sends his servant with his staff, go to the boy and lay this on his face. Well, the servant runs, and Elisha is going to travel to the boy. But this mother makes this statement to Elisha. She says, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. She's saying that to Elisha the prophet. She's saying, I'm not leaving you. Let's go to the boy. But I'm not going ahead of you. I'm not going with the servant. I'm staying with you. Because the prophet was the closest thing to God she could get. She stayed with Elisha. The staff doesn't work. Her and Elisha get to the house. Elisha performs a miracle. It's God doing this. But the boy is raised from the dead. And the point of this scripture is, this is the message for you mothers. Don't leave God alone. If you're praying for your children, keep praying. Grasp on to God and tell God, I'm not leaving you. I'm praying for my children. And I encourage you to keep doing that. Our lesson this morning was about, it's about being grateful. You know, we're talking about honoring our mothers, but remember as you're thankful for your mother that that's a gift from God. And remember to thank the one ultimately responsible for the beauty and the gift of mothers. And that's Almighty God. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. It really ties to the last point of this lesson. It's a great song about patience, about waiting, about praying. Teach me, Lord, to wait. And during this song, if you have a need this morning, something on your heart, something we could lift up to God in prayer, if there's one that would like to give your life to Christ, become a Christian, and find forgiveness, have your sins washed away. We'd love to help you if you'd come while we stand and sing.
Teach me, Lord, to wait.